You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Startups, entrepreneurship, technology, those have been the bread and butter of our next guest.
The House Judiciary Committee announced yesterday they're going to hold multiple hearings on antitrust issues. So much like we saw lots of investigation and testimony on Russian interference in U.S. elections and the role of Facebook in that.
Aarti Shahani is NPR's tech reporter. You may have heard her stories over the years from Silicon Valley on everything from Facebook privacy policies to H-1B visas to the latest iPhone features and apps. But in her new memoir called Here We Are, she doesn't tell tech stories. She tells the story of her immigrant Indian family that includes strife, tests of patriotism, and even the criminal justice system. Aarti Shahani joined me in studio, and I asked her to start by reading a passage from her book.
Dad's was a life of dreams beyond reach, a lifelong migrant, forever set back and starting over. He had no firm ground to stand on, yet he was a truly ambitious man. He knew how to spot ambition in others. He admired it. And it confused him when it turned out that in America, his most ambitious child, the one getting the highest grades, determined to leap the furthest, was not the eldest son, as it was supposed to be. It was the youngest daughter.
Aarti Shahani, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you. So let's kind of reflect on that passage there.
Yeah.
A lot of us coming from immigrant communities, you know, can relate to that kind of sentiment of the male in the family is expected to be the one to succeed, and you know, and you come to a place like the U.S. What was that like for your father?
I mentioned in this passage that my father came to realize that, like, oh, I was the ambitious go-getter kid. It was the youngest daughter, not the eldest son, as he would have expected. And part of how we both came to realize that is I became a scholarship kid at a private school, an all-girls school in Manhattan. So, you know, we're from working-class, immigrant, ethnic Queens. And then I, in the ninth grade, land in the very white, very upper-crust Brearley School in Manhattan. And at Brearley, I saw something I'd never seen before in my life. I saw kids talking back to their parents. Because in immigrant Queens, you didn't see that kind of thing happen.
Right.
And so I got there, and at first I felt like a sort of physical shock from it. Like, oh my God, is that, how are they doing that?
So your father is really the focus of this memoir, it feels like.
Yes,
you
and no. I think the
and
two
your father.
Of us. I think the two of us.
Your relationship.
They're our relationship. And, you know, this memoir is a eulogy for my father. And, you know, for a lot of us, when we're trying to sort ourselves out and figure out our story, it actually takes understanding your family's story. There's no such thing as a personal journey. There's not. You know, we're deeply interconnected. And so I think what I'm doing is, whether you want to call this a eulogy for my father or a coming-of-age story for a professional alpha female sorting herself out, they're kind of one and the same.
Mm-hmm. And the question of, what do I take, what do I leave? From my parents.
Yeah.
And from where they came from.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing, I think.
And is it possible to feel connected to them while living in a separate world?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Can you be
connected? And how?
Yeah, exactly.
Through what?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So let's go back and tell me the story of what happened to your father.
The legal story.
The legal story of what happened to your father. So your parents were working in Queens, New York.
My family came here when I was an infant. We overstayed tourist visas. We then got our papers in a handful of years because an auntie and
uncle. You can say that now, just like you're just saying it now.
Yeah,
you're not worried about Trump time or somebody going back in
time. You know why I'm saying it now? It is so important to me that people know that I was undocumented for a time, because many Americans are undocumented. Many Americans are. And we can't treat it as though, oh my God, what are you doing here? Like, get real. Millions of people who are part of our country don't have their papers yet because the government's failed to create a line to process them.
And you write about that.
Yeah.
The undocumented person as a hero.
Yeah. I don't forget that that's who I was and am, and I don't apologize for it. I think that that's just part of the American story at this point. So, yeah, we got our papers, which is when Dad was able to actually start his own business. He opened an electronics shop on 28th Street and Broadway in Manhattan, the exact same block where he used to shovel snow for $5 an hour. He was now a shopkeeper, a store owner. One day we get a call. My father, as well as his little brother, had gotten arrested for selling watches and calculators to the wrong guys, to members of the Cali drug cartel. Long story short, they each agree to plead guilty and take 8-month sentences. The criminal justice system is not a system based on innocence and guilt. It's based on risk and reward. Prosecutors want to get convictions, and they want to get them swiftly. So what happens in my dad's and my family's case is prosecutors brought them into an investigation. What prosecutors wanted was to get real members, real leaders of a drug cartel that was wreaking havoc in New York City. They never managed to get real cartel leadership. What they got was a shopkeeper who may have sold electronics to cartel members, but the prosecutor wanted a conviction. So what was the plea bargain? They said, hey, Mr. Shahani and Mr. Shahani, my father and uncle, you could take a guilty plea, do 8 months, put the whole matter behind you, or you can risk going to trial, and if you are convicted, you will get, let's say, a decade, maybe more than a decade. So here's the thing. They did what everyone does. They pleaded guilty. Now, here's the immigrant twist. The immigrant twist is not in the criminal justice system navigating it poorly, because that's citizens and non-citizens alike. The immigrant twist is after each of them had already served their time, even though they had green cards, lawful permanent residents, and even though they had family members who were by then naturalized U.S. citizens, the federal government came in and started deportation proceedings as a second surprise punishment. And so what ended up happening is that the 8-month sentence spiraled into a 14-year-long legal battle that I largely fought to keep my father in this country. At that point at 19, I stopped going to college basically to fight his case. And that fight, it's the longest campaign of my life. It lasted for a decade. I would never have guessed at age 19 that I would be fighting to keep my father in this country until I was 30 years old. I would never have guessed that.
That's NPR tech reporter Aarti Shahani, and you can find out what happened to her father and her family. It's all in her memoir called Here We Are, American Dreams, American Nightmares.